Today we start our new sermon series looking at three of the kings of the Old Testament. This is the sermon which Roy Doran delivered this morning at St John's. We are looking at some of the kings of Israel over the next 7 to 8 weeks, and it's very interesting. But first, a thought for you. Do you ever remember when you were a small child and taking your first steps? You wanted to pull away from mum or dad's hand and walk on your own. Your loving parent would say to you, "Be careful or you will fall." But you took no notice and went off toddling down the path, and you started to gather speed, and before you knew it, you were running. And all of a sudden, the pathway met you face to face, and you ended up crying for mum or dad. In one sense, this is very true about something of the background of the people of Israel as God's chosen people. We know through the word of God in the Old Testament how he had chosen them to be his own and that he would never leave them. We also know how the people who had been set free from captivity in Egypt as they journeyed towards the land that God would give them, and they knew that he would guide them. The trouble was that the people took no notice of what God had told them, despite seeing them through some very difficult times. They introduced a whole variety of idols, which they chose to worship rather than God himself. These influences came when they pulled their hands away, so to speak, and allowed all the influences of the surrounding world to distract them from their walk with their Heavenly Father. As a result, God gave them a structure of governance by introducing judges to rule over them. Samuel was one of these people. Samuel emerged as the last judge in a 350-year span of judges who had authority to rule Israel. When Samuel became old, he appointed his two sons as judges. This was an inappropriate action on Samuel's part, since God had delegated power to the people to appoint the judges. Samuel had stepped outside of the will of God. Samuel's sons were dishonest and did not recognize God as their Lord, and as a result took bribes and perverted justice. Samuel failed to change things as he should have done, and so all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah to present their grievance regarding his sons. They said to Samuel, "Behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations." The elders have a legitimate grievance, that is, with the judges who are corrupt. They also have the authority to act. God had given the people the authority to appoint their own judges. They had good cause. God had warned the people to make sure they appointed judges who were honest and did justice among the people. So the elders were actually following God's instructions in insisting that these corrupt judges be replaced. Samuel heard all that the people said, and he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered, "Listen to them and give them a king. It's not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights." Then Samuel said to the men of Israel who were asking for an earthly king, "He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some will be assigned to become commanders of thousands and others of 50. You will make weapons and equipment of war. He will take the best of your fields, vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants." For several more verses in 1 Samuel chapter 8, he warns them of the reality and consequences of such an action. So Samuel sends everyone back to their own town. So now we know something of the brief history of the situation. Let's look at how God chooses Saul to become king of Israel. It's from 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 to 10. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish. He had a son whose name was Saul, a choice and handsome man, and there was not a more handsome person than he among the sons of Israel. From his shoulders and up he was taller than any of the people. Now the donkeys belonging to Kish, Saul's father, were lost. So Kish said to his son Saul, "Take now with you one of the servants, and arise, go search for the donkeys." They passed through the hill country of Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalishah, but they did not find them. They eventually passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they did not find them. When they came to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come, let us return, or else my father will cease to be concerned about the donkeys and will become anxious for us." The servant said to him, "Behold now, there is a man of God in this city, and the man is held in honour. All that he says surely comes true. Now let us go there. Perhaps he can tell us about our journey on which we've set out." Then Saul said to his servant, "But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is gone from our sack, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have?" The servant answered Saul again and said, "Behold, I have in my hand a fourth of a shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God, and he will tell us our way." Then Saul said to his servant, "Well said, come, let us go." So they went to the city where the man of God was. Now a day before Saul's coming, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel, saying, "About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel, and he will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have regarded my people, because their cry has come to me." When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, "Behold, the man of whom I spoke to you, this one shall rule over my people." God had not left them, despite their disobedience and allowing other things to get in the way of their relationship with him. What can we learn from this story? Samuel had appointed outside of the will of God. When such things happen, there will be problems. This is the same today. We cannot allow wrong influences to distract us from our journey with God. It is vital that the church comes to that point in its teaching and behaviour and not allow things which are of this world to influence its behaviour. There must be people within its body who speak up and correct the church when it is allowing such influences to become the norm and acceptable. God wants his church to remain true to the foundations of the gospel and resist the temptations to allow distortions of the word. Samuel had nowhere to turn other than to God, and he did so in prayer, and the Lord God answered him. "Listen to them and give them a king. It's not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king." It's a great comfort to know that no matter what people do, in the end, God's will be done. God picks his people up time after time when we fall. This only goes to show something of the depth of love God has for his people. And we have become part of the people of Israel. This was done for us when Jesus went to the cross at Calvary, died and rose again. The people had put their demands onto Samuel, but God was still at work because God had used the people to challenge Samuel by demanding that a human king should be appointed, but there would be consequences in doing so. In future weeks, we will hear clearly of those consequences. God will have his way in the end, even though people might reject him and allow other influences or ideas to try and get their own way. God will have his own way. Now we can think about the amazing encounter which a young man called Saul had with a man of God while he was out looking for donkeys. He was not expecting anything like this to happen, but happen it did. It's truly amazing just what God can and will do in order for his will and purpose to become a reality. God does call people out of the lowest of places in order to fulfil some of the roles and positions he wants to place them in, to fulfil his will and purpose for that time and situation. The most important thing, in my mind, is for us all to remain true to the call and purposes of God, and don't be surprised by the unexpected. God's will be done in the end, and he calls people he wants to use to be obedient to his calling and to fulfil that which he calls them to do. Despite our human fear that God couldn't possibly use me, remember, God doesn't make mistakes. He knows exactly what he is doing. After all, he is God. God has brought people together as a leadership team here in St John's in order to make the changes we need to make in order to fulfil the will and purpose of God for the people of Birkdale. They're not from the Orthodox line of clergy, which one might expect, but ordinary people who long to fulfil the will and purpose of God. Remember, God doesn't make mistakes. As part of its ministry, the leadership team are called to preach the word of God, to lead and encourage people to come to faith and to grow in that faith, as well as encourage people to pray. One of the areas of prayer needed is for the next person who is chosen, that he or she will want to progress the church in the way God wants his church to go and remain true to the gospel. So we need to pray earnestly for the people who are called to seek out the right person whom God is calling to serve him, so that God's will is done. God doesn't make mistakes, and we don't need to if we hold tight to his hand through the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. We might never fully know what kind of background that person might come from, nor understand the circumstances which brings them to the point of wanting to come and lead us into the future. What really matters is the fact that God is calling them, and they're fulfilling his role in that calling. Our responsibility is to encourage and nurture the person, whoever it might be, to remain true to God. That might mean there'll be tricky times ahead, but we must remember who it is we serve and have the courage of our convictions. In order to be able to do that, we need to know the word of God for ourselves, from cover to cover, and have the courage to speak out if things start to creep in that shouldn't. Now, closer to home, and a personal challenge to you all, we need to stop and look at ourselves as individuals. Never ever think that you are not good enough to fulfil whatever task God calls you to do for him. You must remember that when your life is committed to him and you want to fulfil his will and purpose, then the Holy Spirit of God will always guide you. Believe me, there will be a very good reason that God has a plan for you which will take you out of your comfort zone. That's okay. Because if we are longing to serve God as he is calling, then be assured that he will give you all you need in order to fulfil that task. There is always a cost to discipleship, as those first disciples knew only too well. Our responsibility is to trust him with our lives and step out in faith, following his calling. Let him make the changes in us which might need to be made so that we can journey with him in faith, trusting and believing in his guidance and his provision of all that we need in order to do what he calls us to do. His divine will and purpose will be fulfilled, and that we can be assured of. He knows exactly what he's doing. As we will see and hear next week, Saul is tested by God and fails. Amen.